Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Going to see Jazzy Bell. Never met her before.
But she's got some questions for me.
And I've got the answers. Come on, let's go.
Ooh, ooh! What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Jazzy Bell, and you are listening to Woman in Hip Hop Podcast. And on this show, we focus on the many talents and influences from women in hip hop. And today, I am so honored. I don't even know what to say about this woman. First of all, she paved the way for chicks like myself. Hello. And she is the queen of talk, queen of radio still, best-selling author, fashion line, comedian. I don't know what this woman cannot do. She is...
You forgot to put, what, a mess.
Yes!
In a good way.
Queen Messy. Okay, you already heard her voice. It's very distinctive, so y'all already know who it is. The queen of all medias in the building, Wendy Williams. How are you, love?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Jazzy, thank you so much for having me here, and it's an honor to be recognized as one of the people who has paved the way in hip-hop, because hip-hop is more than just getting on the mic and emceeing.
Yes.
It's the DJs that spun the wax, shouted you out on the countdowns mm-hmm. to support you mm-hmm. and hosted your shows. And this is not even an argument to me, but a lot of the kids these days don't understand. I, too, am hip-hop.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why I will say, and you can let me know if you attest to it, you were in radio prior to this, and this is a new generation of millennials. They see you daytime Wendy, child.
Right.
But they don't know.
They don't know.
Reggie, Wendy low-key ratchet.
Well, but you know what?
Because hip-hop gives us that.
But I had to be that girl to become this woman.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about your humble beginnings in hip-hop. Now, of course, yesterday we just celebrated the birth of hip-hop, 44 years old. Did you know that?
Yes.
Talk to me about when you first fell in love with hip-hop.
Run DMC. Mm. As an actual album. Mm. But growing up in Jersey, I grew up in the New York tri-state part of Jersey. Mm-hmm. So listening to the late, great Mr. Magic and the Rap Attack mm-hmm. and Cool DJ Red Alert mm-hmm. late at night. This is before there were multiple TVs in a household.
Right.
You know, there was a TV in my mom and dad's room.
Right.
And one in the family room.
Right.
But there wasn't one in my bedroom. And I had my own bedroom. Mm-hmm. But I loved the radio. I fell in love with it. And I would listen mm-hmm. and love it. Mm-hmm. DJing and MCing. Mm-hmm. Yes. Who are these boys in the Bronx, in the park, after dark?
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, it was very instrumental in your upbringing. Talk to me when it comes to having that radio, because you didn't have TV.
Right.
What about that culture, hip-hop, on the radio resonated with you to where you became a radio personality?
Well, it wasn't so much about hip-hop. Mm-hmm. It was more about the glamour of the music at the time, which uh-huh. was hip-hop and deep disco music.
Okay.
The Donna Summers and, you know, the... I mean, that Franz Jolie, Come to Me.
Yeah.
Frankie Crocker was the glamorous big DJ here on the radio. He didn't spin hip-hop, he spun the disco music.
Okay.
But when the night, when midnight came, mm-hmm. it'd be Rap Attack with Mr. Magic, Marley Marl and Cool DJ Red Alert. And mm-hmm. I just loved the whole thing, and I said, this is what I want to be, a radio personality.
Yes.
And I don't necessarily care whether I am spinning hip hop, mm-hmm. disco, country, or whatever. Uh-huh. I fell in, because I loved top 40 music back then too. Mm-hmm. Dan Ingram on 77 WABC. I knew that I was late with emptying the dishwasher if he didn't say, time for the tutu. That was when it was 22 minutes after 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
So I'm a fan of the music mm-hmm. of my era, and that's what I wanted to do, either that or be a newscaster. And then I found out newscasters can't wear an exposed bra.
Yes.
Okay. Or a big giant wig.
Yes.
Back in my day,
they wasn't ready for the big personality Wendy.
Right. So
bah, bah, bah,
by the time
you still
I
are today.
Thank you. By the time I got to college, it took me maybe 30 seconds to say, nope, I'm going to be a radio personality. Forget the news thing, because I can't. Also, I didn't like the boys that you'd have to date to be a respectable newswoman.
Really?
Oh, please. You had to date a Barack. You know, you couldn't date, you know,
the homeboy from the block or your local drug dealer.
A Negro from Brownsville, which, you know, not for nothing. That was always exciting to me. I grew up in the suburbs. You know, my dad's a Barack.
Right.
You know, my brother's a Barack. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But that wasn't exciting to me.
No.
And that couldn't be my husband as a newscaster. Whereas listening to the radio and hearing all the yes y'alling,
mm-hmm.
I was like,
I love that. I love that.
Yes.
You know what I like to know? Because I feel like I always ask this question with all the guests that come here. Usually it's my first, so I can get an idea as to how you rocking. Because it is called Woman in Hip Hop.
Okay, Jazzy.
Who is your top 5 favorite female rappers?
Okay. I'm sweating.
Woo!
I'm sweating.
Okay.
Okay. And let me just say that I have more than top 5.
I know. For and females.
In no particular order. Definitely Queen Latifah.
There we go.
You know, her lyrics, her strength for women. Back when I was a young girl, we were all young trying to figure this out in a man's world. MC Light, most definitely. Gotta give it up to Nicki Minaj. You know, Nicki, you know, with her sex appeal, her lyrics, mm-hmm. her crossover appeal,
yes.
from American Idol to the hood.
Yes.
Nicki's got that je ne sais quoi. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Salt and Pepper.
Mm.
And I'm gonna include them as one. I loved their message, and it was just a fun time, and we were all trying to figure it out, like I said, as women in a male-dominated field.
Yes.
I can't forget about, like, of course, Little Kim. All right.
Yes.
That first album.
Hardcore Honey.
Okay.
I think it was like 96 it came out.
Okay.
My daddy threw the CD away, and I bought another one.
And then all of her collaborations. I love Kim. And the style and the sex appeal, but mixed with messages. Now, they're my 5.
Okay.
But can I move on?
Give me more? Please, because you know the struggle, because when I was at Shade 45, every time I interview a male artist, it's always all men in
yeah.
their top 5. Rarely does a woman see through. I may get a Salt and Pepper, or I may get a Queen Latifah. Most dudes, Lauryn Hill, right?
Yeah.
They just respect her on a whole different level. So please, give me 5 more. Give me more.
Of course, Foxy Brown. Missy Elliott.
Dope.
Missy just, you know, a lyricist, a producer, mm-hmm. and a boss.
Mm.
You know, she bossed up her entire situation mm-hmm. without over-sexualizing it, which mm-hmm. I loved. You know, Rod Digger. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Rod Digger's from Jersey.
Yeah.
And
her delivery was crazy.
Right?
She could spit with the best of, like, the dudes.
Right?
Yeah.
Of course, Remy has been out a lot longer than most people know,
mm-hmm.
but Remy didn't get on the map for a while, mm-hmm. like most of us.
Right.
You know, it takes a moment in the struggle.
Yes.
You know the baddest bitch, Trina.
Ah!
I have an appreciation for Trina.
Yo, can we? Yo, that's so crazy.
Why?
I know, I love it, but I always say, in the beginning, I guess for me, I was like, Trina, I didn't really understand.
Yes.
You know what it was? I grew up with father, just like you did, middle class home, both parents in the household.
Right.
Siblings, a great support system.
Right.
And she was just coming out with some shit that I couldn't. I was like, yo.
Whorey. Like she, real whorey.
Okay.
And I love Trina, but we can call a spade a spade.
Yes.
But I got my eyes on that Cardi B.
Okay.
Okay. I'm watching. You know what I still love hip hop, and a lot of women my age, and this is, you know, it's odd being in my age group right now, because
why?
Because my girlfriends don't listen to hip hop. Uh-huh. They all they remember is Salt and Pepper's here, and they stopped right there. You know what I mean?
Right.
They put on the smooth jazz station, and that's how they commute. Mm-hmm. Not me. I commute loud and proud. Mm-hmm. I got the bass knob, and I'm going. And I definitely give it up to women in hip-hop. But you have to know where it starts in order to know where it's going.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about your favorite 16 from a female rapper. What was it? And can you spit it? Because I watch your show, Wendy, every day. And you would throw some lines out there, and it's like the audience, sometimes you may miss them because they...
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Wendy is very more, you know, it's daytime. So you got to talk to the old lady, the old white lady watching you, to your kids. It's crazy how you resonate with such a broad audience.
I know.
Talk to me about
Ratchet Wendy?
Yes.
You want to bumble with the bee, huh? Throw a hex on your whole family, dressed in all black like the Omen.
Had your friends saying,
this is for my homies, and you know me.
So make a nigga so sick.
Shut up. Shut up, because now we're going to get to the bad part. But, yes, I know. German Luger for that ass, bitch. Deep throat it. Firearm, you should have towed it. Come on now. And all that bullshit you kick, player hating from the sidelines, get your own shit, bitch. Why you riding mine, huh? A good fella kind of lady.
Statue 80s and Mercedes.
Puffy hold me down, baby. Only female in my crew.
And I kick shit. Like a nigga do. What a trigger to.
Stop.
Fuck you.
I'm very embarrassed.
Please do not be Wendy. I need for the audience to understand how authentic you are, because we get to see you every morning.
I'm a sophisticated woman in a pencil skirt. Don't forget that. Okay.
You have proven that you are
one-dimensional
as well. I think as women, don't you feel that they try to put you in a box and say that you can only be that? And what I love about you and what you show in your career is that you are multifaceted. You can be daytime Wendy. You could be sitting up here spitting a 16 for a little
time. Damn it, man.
Right? Talk about...
I am a mother and a community member. I am a sophisticated woman, Jazzy. You just pulled me right down to the essence. Come on, let's bring it back up.
Yes, okay.
Damn it.
Well, that was my experience. Struggling with the love of hip-hop for daytime Wendy, which I appreciate that. Let's get to Radio Wendy.
Okay.
Because I want the listeners to understand your humble beginnings. Because mm-hmm. What we see is the glitz and the glam. Some people don't know that you've been doing this for over 30 years.
Yes.
So I saw an interview where you kind of touched on you doing radio in D.C.
Yes.
And sleeping in your car, going back and forth from D.C. to New York.
Yes.
Can you please elaborate on that and inspire my listeners?
It was, that's where I really learned my own true strength.
Yeah.
Because being from the tri-state, I could have stopped at my house and slept at my parents'. I got a plethora of friends with apartments around the city or in Jersey. I could have slept there. Mm-hmm. I chose to sleep in my own car because nobody understood my strength and my struggle. And I had a comforter in the back, an alarm clock, and those baby shades that you pull down. and I would pull to the back of rest stops. I've slept at every rest stop between New York and DC just to get back to my regular job on time. I was working at Kathy Hughes. Miss Hughes owned
TV One.
Yes, yes. Now she's the queen at TV One, but back then she had one radio station, WOL. It was an AM station, and they played funky old music. Mm-hmm. My doggy done died. But when I got there, I got the afternoon shift on an AM station, and they allowed me to play the Jody Watleys and the Salt and Peppers and the Cheryl Lynns and things like that. So my show was a little bit, you know, more contemporary on an otherwise established old school station. The man who came on before me, his name was Mo Better Man.
Okay.
Mo Better Man was about 155 years old. Looked like a struck match.
About a struck match.
Well, I'm just saying. Wore a suit, like he was big in the streets,
yes.
But he was just all, like, I'm looking around, but if you really want to be a radio personality, you don't choose a station based on the music that they play. You choose a station based on who's hiring you and the eventual climb you want to have to get to where you want to be, mm-hmm. to do what you want to do. So I did afternoons 5 days a week, and I was hired at, here in New York, before they became Hot 97, they were Hot 103.9, and they played all the freestyle music. So that would be, you know, the Taylor Danes and Noel, Silent Morning, you know, like that. And they had a formula to run the station.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have like two Puerto Ricans on the air, a definite Italian, that was Al Bandiero.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with Fast Freddie Colon, who I grew up listening to on 92KTU, so ironically, I ended up being his coworker. Anyway, I rounded it out by being the black girl.
The token black girl.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hired as a fill-in. So what would happen is, they'd call me in the morning, ring from New York, 7 o'clock in the morning, you know, our 6 p.m. DJ won't be here, so we need you up here. And I would figure out a way to be sick in D.C.
Right.
So I can jump in my Subaru, college gift from my parents.
Right.
I jump in my Subaru, have my alarm clock, my pillow, my shades,
mm-hmm.
and my comforter,
mm-hmm.
and drive up and do that shift.
Mm-hmm.
And this is before the internet, so Miss Hughes and them had no idea I was moonlighting.
Wow.
Yup.
And if they did, I mean...
Oh, well, as soon as they found out, I was fired.
What? But that's interesting, because I know that you gave the two-week notice.
Yes!
But that's how they found out.
Yes!
And they just let you go.
Immediately. They gave me a 2-second notice. Bye, bitch.
I was told in radio that they have to someone do that, because if you are live on the air,
yeah.
which you were,
yeah.
you can, they can come to you and say, either we want to fire you or you're going to leave because you may do something out of whack.
Well, I didn't have a contract.
Oh.
And I was only like 22...
Mm-hmm.
minutes old
mm-hmm.
at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a contract. All I had was a car and the stamina to understand that all my girlfriends who were like, oh, Wendy, you coming up here? All right, well, this club is popping, that club's... I'm like, no, bitches.
Right.
I am working. Get out of here. And my parents totally didn't understand, so I didn't want to hear from those haters,
mm-hmm.
you know, stopping at the house for something to eat or whatever. Mm-mm. And the radio station, Hot 103.9, was located in Astoria. So I drive through Manhattan to Astoria, the Kaufman Astoria Studios. I used to, Greg Gumbel, Bryant's brother, did a sports show. And just so all the studios were connected, and I'd see him do his thing. And then the Cosby show eventually also filmed out of Cosby. It was like a big studio for a lot of people.
Okay.
And great Greek diners.
Mm-hmm.
I was literally doing my dirt all by my lonely.
Yeah.
And that lasted for about 3 months before I gave the notice, because Hot finally offered me full time.
Talk to me about that.
$60,000, girl.
Yes.
I had...
Was that your first radio contract? Because I didn't know you wasn't on contract.
I wasn't contracted there either. It's okay. I was dumb. You don't know what to do.
Yes.
You're just happy to be there. I was only making $9,500 in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And when I landed my job in New York, that was $60,000. plus $450 for public appearances. Now, I'm young. I'm doing
that,
like,
was some coins. That was a check back then.
I'm doing like two appearances a night.
Wow.
Doing my thing.
Mm-hmm.
By myself, though.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really understood. And nobody's up at midnight. Like, my parents, they're not up at midnight listening.
Right.
And, or understanding the whole thing. And my girlfriends, they were into 98.7 Kiss, mm-hmm. and WBLS.
Yes.
They weren't listening to freestyle music, so nobody really got it. But I was like, okay. And that's why none of you all are around right now.
Yes.
Because I am on my grind.
20 years later, still doing your thing. The reason why I wanted you to share that, because we have social media.
30 plus years later.
30 plus years. Mm-hmm. But at that point.
But now, uh-huh. Guess who wants front and center in my life? Everybody.
Right. That's why I wanted you to share that story, because I feel like now with social media being so prominent,
mm-hmm.
everybody's attached to their smartphone. Everybody cares about likes.
I mean, I have a social media department at the show.
Good for
and
you.
And of course, I got my brand new app, which I love.
Yes.
It's so freeing to have the app. I'm able to do so many different things on the app that I can't do on my show,
mm-hmm.
either because of time constraints or content or whatnot. You know, whether it's, you know, a 3-part interview with Tashira, DMX's, you know, wife, or being on iFly, you know, flying up in the thing and coming back
down.
I love all that. And then At Home Hot Topics. So do I care? Yeah, social media is what drives people
mm-hmm.
these days. But I can't get caught up in it.
Right. No, I agree with you.
And also, people get in those wars. The Twitter wars and the ranting and mm-hmm. all that. I've never been in one. Never will be in one. On my social media, people say all kinds of stuff. Mostly people love. But the people who hate deep.
Yes.
Because people either love me or hate me.
Or love to hate you or hate to love you.
Yeah.
Okay. It's been that way for a long time for you, though.
Yeah. I'm used to it.
Yes. Okay.
I'm not proud of it.
I'm not.
But I'm used to it.
Wendy, it made you who you are today. I don't know, obviously, because you've been consistently you for so long that this is all we expect. This is what we want. You didn't come here by accident. You paved the way. You put in the work.
Yeah.
And the way you put in the work, you were a trendsetter. That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Because what's happening now, I feel like everybody kind of mocked what you started. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Nope, you are.
But with all this spilling the tea, every time I hear that damn phrase, I'm like, everybody wants to be the next Wendy. I've never heard spill the tea so much. You got tea talk shows, spill the tea, this tea overspill. I'm like, that's Wendy.
Everybody's gossiping. And you know what?
Talk to me about that, because you started that.
But I took a lot of heat for that. But it's nice to see that I'm still able to do it
mm-hmm.
in a refined way, in a pencil skirt, on my successful talk show going mm-hmm. into its 9th season. But, and however, I'm honored and flattered. I feel flattered.
Was that strategic on your part? Did you come in this game in the beginning knowing that I'm going to be the Wendy Williams, I'm going to spill the tea, I'm going to talk about celebrity gossip in a way where I give my opinion with no filter?
No.
Mm-hmm.
When I did get to New York and was able to establish myself as a full-time radio jock, what I found is that I was always the youngest one on the staff. And by being the youngest one on the staff, and no disrespect to my elder statesmen, but after their shift, they would go home at night and feed their dogs and go to bed.
Right.
You know, or they would go to Ashford and Simpson's Club. You know,
oh, wow,
yeah, a lot of sophisticated places around town. They would go to places like that.
I think I've been there once.
In the meantime, I would be at the club, actually seeing Mary J. Blige and KC
mm-hmm.
hooking up, you know, squeezed up.
Ooh.
I would actually see Peppa and Tretch up in the club because I was younger and single and ready to mingle.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of money that I was making back then. And I didn't have a college loan or a car loan.
Okay.
So my life was on tilt.
Wow.
And so New York was my oyster. And I'd be this young girl running around from club to club. And I would actually see stuff. Whereas my elder statesman, you know, rest in peace, you know, the late, great Vaughn Harper, you know, Vaughn would, you know, be at the older club and then go home.
Right. But when you saw the stuff in the club, you brought it to us, the listeners, in the radio.
Because I was popping and popular, mm-hmm. and everyone else's career was popping.
That was a good time. Early 90s, mid-90s?
Mm-hmm. Nope. Well, I got to New York in 1998 full-time. And
I want to say that's like my best year in life.
Yes.
I would say that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Music was the best.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I was out. Because I had the freedom to do it. I didn't have a dog to feed. I didn't have a child to birth. I didn't have a, you know, a man. I had boyfriends.
Okay.
Options. Options. And I was making a really nice income, and I was never a fool regarding, oh, by the way, it didn't cost a lot to dress back then. Mm-hmm. So that was a savings. You know, you buy yourself a hat, mm-hmm. you cut a hole in the top, pull your fake ponytail through, mm-hmm. and go on about your business. You put on your baggy jeans, a pair of Carl Canais. Matter of fact, stuff like that would get delivered to the radio station for me all the time. So my wardrobe was taken care of because I was the girl on the air. I was the one. I was the ratings maker. And as a woman, that was very, very unique because women, when I was growing up, were always sidekicks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's nothing wrong with being a sidekick.
You were never a sidekick.
I've never been comfortable with even that word.
Wow.
If I'm not running the show, then I don't want to do the show.
Okay. Now, when it came to you being in those clubs, because this is what is interesting to me that I want to know. You saw a lot, like you said, you were seeing the Casey and JoJo hooking up. You were seeing the Tretch and the Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
So you witnessed a lot of things, and you came to the radio, and you, what they call now, spilled the tea.
Right.
Did it come to a point where people knew to hide from you in those clubs because you were saying too much? How was that like for you?
Awkward.
Yeah.
Weird. Awkward. But never dangerous. Not back then. Mm. This is before people were drinking champagne. This is when we were drinking Heineken out of a bottle. This is before a gross amount of diamonds. This is when leather medallions and real basic clothing. And if you had a problem with somebody, you just walked to the other side of the room. But for me, because I was the plug to the entire New York situation, and of course we know New York runs the world. Mm-hmm. It's the number one market for everything. And they knew that if their next single came out, they'd have to come interview with me. And so I don't mean anything by it. It's just that if I see you doing something foul, I'm going to say something. So maybe you might want to take your foulness to the back room. You know what I mean?
Now, was that you always growing up amongst your friends outside of radio and you just figure, I'm going to bring this to radio?
No.
No?
No, I grew up awkward. I grew up in an awkward town. I was only one of four black people to graduate from my high school, my graduating class in 1982, mm-hmm. and the other three blacks called me white girl. Mm-hmm. One is dead. The other two have both visited the audience of the talk show. So,
ooh!
I win.
As she smokes her cigarette, you guys.
Okay.
Y'all can't see how she's smoking her cigarette.
My invisible cigarette. but you know, and I'm not, and you know, I greet them and hug them during commercial and stuff like that, but you all made it really awkward for me growing up.
Yeah.
And the white girls were always nice, and you know, but that wasn't a time of interracial dating.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I see, you know, you see a white boy looking at you from the side of your eye, mm-hmm. but back then you couldn't bring me home, nor are you.
Okay.
and I could not wait to escape Ocean Township. So when you talk about friends, I established one great friendship, and she's still my girl to this day.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I forgot to put my phone on silent. She'll probably be calling. That's my friend Reg.
Okay.
She's black, and we grew up in this. She moved from California, but anyway, no, I was not the big mouth girl. I was a silent observer of my motto, which is, okay, I'll show them.
Ooh.
I'll show them. Mm. Because they throw out the N-word sometimes to the others, you know, and say, not you, Wendy. See, I always had a pass.
Because you grew up and you went to school. I was one of four.
I always had a pass with, you know, my white friends, and I still call them my white friends. And I've seen them in recent years, but no, I was never a big mouth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to radio, is radio still your first love?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Are we expecting a comeback from Wendy doing radio?
I am really enjoying my life right now. You know what? I get asked that question all the time, and yeah. I've teetered on it through the years. But
because it was a rumor that people were saying that you might have your own show back on, or on SiriusXM.
Well, here's the thing.
I heard that shit. I got excited. I'm like, Wendy back on radio?
Here's the thing, though,
no
Jazzy.
More pencil skirt. No, we're going to get a jumper with some shorts. We're going to get the see-through top.
You can get what I have on right now.
I wish you look great.
Denim on denim on denim, all the way down to my toes, everybody. A big sloppy wig. You know how I do.
Yes.
But, you know, Jazzy, mm-hmm. I'm not going to ever say never, but what I will say is it requires a deep family meeting with me, my husband, and my son.
Yeah.
Because the hours required from doing the talk show and maintaining everything that having a successful talk show requires, as well as the moisturization of my situation, it's not fair to me.
Right.
You know, if I was a single woman with no kids at my age, then I'd probably be doing everything
yeah.
because I'd be married to my career.
Yeah.
But you know what, Jazzy? I'm not that girl.
Good. Good. Now, do you have a favorite interview?
In life?
Yes.
No.
No, you don't have a favorite interview that you've done thus far with anybody.
No.
Do you have a most difficult interview?
No.
No?
I'm a conversationalist. I grew up, look, I'm a wordsmith and I'm a conversationalist.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up in my house, my parents are still married, and I have an older sister and a younger brother, and we'd have to come to the dinner table every evening. My mother, a career girl, would have homemade food ready.
What's up, podcast land? It's your boy C. Diddy, one half of the realest podcast ever. Are you tired of the same boring, unoriginal podcasts that lack depth, originality, and substance? Well, I got a solution for you. Join us here every Monday and Thursday on Revolt Podcast Network for the realest podcast ever, where we bring you the best in entertainment news, fashion, sports, music reviews, politics, and street culture with a mixture of the most powerful guests that you're going to find anywhere on the internet. Join us every Monday and Thursday for the realest podcast ever.
And there was no TV in the kitchen, so it would be all about conversating. Mm-hmm. Is that a word?
I know. But Wendy, come on, we can make up anything here on Woman in Pop Podcast.
No, I don't have a favorite anything.
No.
You know what? I've had great conversations with cab drivers.
Okay.
I've had great conversations with stars.
Mm-hmm.
But the higher up the rank you go as a star, the worse the conversation is. Because they're so guarded.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all.
So when it comes to your show, now that we talked about your radio career,
mm-hmm.
Wendy Williams Show, The Wendy Williams Show. A lot of people tried it, from Kris Jenner,
yeah.
your friend,
yeah.
to so many people.
Yeah.
Tried and failed
yeah.
miserably.
Mm.
What is Wendy Williams' winning formula?
Well,
I have my idea as to what I think.
What do you think?
Honestly, right now, okay. Well, watching your show from the beginning,
yeah.
from the 6-week trial,
uh-huh.
and just watching your career, I believe it has a lot to do with your support system and the people that you keep around you.
Uh-huh.
And your family.
And the people that I don't keep around me.
There you go.
Okay.
Now elaborate on that.
Well,
that's your winning formula. Elaborate on your winning formula.
I'm glad that you see that, Jazzy,
because,
you know, I happen to be the lucky one with my face on the side of a New York City building, which gives me chills every morning that we pull up and I look up and I see that. I'm just like, damn it, girl. Walk. But
shit, I got chills,
literally. But I'm the only one who walks through the double doors. But I do have a wonderful support system.
Yeah.
I mean, it starts at my home. You know,
see that
my husband and I, we've been married for almost 20 years, and he's my manager. He's my partner. He's the only person in the entire world who can set me straight with something that has gone awry,
yeah.
or give me the thumbs up. When nobody else will.
Yeah.
He's the one. I don't care what people say about, you know, you look great or not. When he says it, ta-da! So that's the support system there. And then our son, young Kev,
mm-hmm.
he's 16. And he was a good baby. You know, one of those babies who can cry all through the night and stuff.
Ooh,
always always greeting you with laughs in his crib.
Yeah.
But I have working mother's guilt, like I don't know what, but he's never made me feel guilty. And my priorities are work and then go home and see what we need in the fridge, or, you know, where he needs to be driven, or, you know, what needs to be fixed around here. I'm a hands-on woman, but the staff that my husband and I have approved for the talk show has been pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people who still work with us from our 6-week sneak peek. They haven't left.
Wow.
And we literally were in a boat like Noah's Ark. Because when you have a 6-week sneak peek, you don't know what's going to happen. I kept my radio show at that time.
I know, I'm sure that was pretty hard.
I would be, I'd be live from 10 to 11,
yeah.
Get off the air and pull off my eyelashes and scrub all that makeup off and take off that pencil skirt and throw on some leggings and Uggs.
Yeah.
It, you know, throw my hair in a top knot, drive across town, because during a 6-week sneak peek, nobody's ordering you car service, all right?
All right.
Thug it out. It might have looked glamorous, but it was real raw.
Right.
I would drive across town, park my car, go up to WBLS and do at that point, it was a 5-hour show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be on from 2 to 6, and I wouldn't get home after the New York traffic until like 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. To a boy waiting for me, smiling, and still, you know, having to do something to gather some dinner. Like, you just can't neglect.
Yeah.
And then there's sitting down on the floor and playing blocks.
Yeah.
And then getting in the bed with ice under your bags.
Right.
And getting ready to get back in the morning to thug it out on TV. And here's Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
But our staff is phenomenal. And we're going into our 9th season. It begins on September 18th.
Oh.
And my 6-week sneak peek was the first one ever done in the history of TV.
Really?
Yes. We were on in 4 cities. Just 4.
Okay.
If any one of these cities voted me off the island, I'm done.
Right.
Debmar Mercury, our partners.
Uh-huh.
Debmar Mercury, you know, made the phone calls and it all happened. We were on in New York, Detroit.
Hello, that's my hometown. Ooh.
Dallas and L.A.
Okay.
And it ended up working. And it ended up being a model for what they do now to test shows. So
I'm always hearing about test runs.
I'm sorry for
now,
Coco and Ice-T.
That.
And I'm sorry for, you know, Kris Jenner and Bethany. But those shows were modeled after my model of the 6-week sneak peek.
Mm.
And I didn't find out until the day before our last day that we got a season 1.
Really?
Yep. The day before our last day. I worked the whole summer doing both radio and TV.
Right.
And I knew in my mind, I said, if we get a season 1, I cannot do radio and TV.
Mm.
And I don't even know whether we'll get a season 2. But like I always tell people, what better person to bet on than yourself?
Yes.
I mean, I bet on myself.
That's my motto. Bet on Jazz.
Yes.
Trust me.
You bet on yourself your whole career.
Yeah.
So why stop now? I blew those dice and flipped them and said, you know what, radio? I'm done.
Nice.
I was in the middle of a contract.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm done. And
and you holding it down solo.
Oh, God.
And all the people that you named, they try to do a solo. And it seemed like the winning formula for all these other daytime shows is panels.
Yeah.
The token black, the token Asian, the token white, the token Italian, the token Spanish, whatever.
Yeah.
A wide variety of women on panels doing hot topics, hot gossip. But you sustaining your position by yourself.
It's not easy. It's not easy.
Talk about how you doing this dolo versus the woman on the panel. How is that even possible to sit in that chair and talk to millions of people on your own?
I think, like,
for 9 seasons.
And you know what?
It's pretty damn commendable.
And I like a panel show. We're
mm-hmm.
referring to The Real,
which
The
I love.
Talk, and The View.
Mm-hmm.
We're referring to them, and there'll be many more panel shows that come along.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for shows like that, maybe one woman has this that captivates the world, and one woman has that, and one woman has the other. I don't know that I have everything. All I know is that all I can be is Wendy. Jazzy.
Yeah.
And
it resonates with all of us.
And let me tell you something about having your own show.
Talk to me.
The entire wardrobe budget is all for you. whether it's from, Target or whether it's from Versace.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So this part of the show, I want to call confessionals. Okay. So I'm just going to throw some questions out to you. And if you can answer it like one word or one sentence.
I'm not good at this.
I know. But no.
Jesus, here we go.
Trust me. I see you doing on your show with that red chair. I think you got this.
Okay. Okay. The red chair that steams. What's it called? Oh my gosh. We're on vacation. the hot seat.
Yes.
Okay.
This ain't that hot. It ain't sizzling like that.
Baby. Okay.
But what's the biggest misconception about Wendy Williams?
That I'm mean.
Understand that. Who or what keeps you grounded?
My family.
When are you at your most happiest place?
At home.
Okay.
In the house.
If you weren't the queen of all media, Wendy Williams, what would you be doing? What would be your other occupation?
Oh, gosh. Well,
because I can't imagine you doing shit else.
You know what? I enjoy the idea of being a housewife as long as I'm well taken care of. but besides that, based on the ventures that I have going on right now,
yeah.
If I was not on TV, I would love to continue my HSN line. I really do enjoy, designing.
Fashion.
And I would like to expand that into, home stuff. I really like the idea of being behind the camera and affording opportunities to other people to produce. I don't want to say direct. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
One day I would love to host a game show, and I've done it before, but I'm that girl. I can do a game show.
Okay.
I also like the idea of philanthropy. Me and my husband and my son, we have the Hunter Foundation.
Yes.
My name is Wendy Williams Hunter. And the idea of giving back. And not just writing a check or doing a shout out during Hot Topics, but actually getting in there, mm-hmm. and painting the side of that building or paying for the building to be built. This will be a building, the help center where kids go after school. Mm-hmm. And I could be one of the tutors, as well as I would be able to afford to hire people there to teach wellness, to just help people.
Yeah.
I want to help.
Yeah. Talk to me about what would Wendy Williams today say to the 13-year-old Wendy? I chose 13 because that's such a time and transitioning. That's like the teenage years. Today, what would you say to that little girl?
Okay, number one, grades are cute, but world smarts matter more. Because I was never a good student. And number two, I would say, you have one more day to eat that Twinkie.
Wendy.
Girl.
We all go through the awkward stage.
I know.
Everybody ate a Twinkie at 13.
Of course.
Right.
But I had no idea at 13 that I would be, this, long, tall Sally now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel so good about my physical thing. And I was called fat by my family.
Yeah.
My intake of food was monitored by my parents.
Yeah.
That Twinkie, I would have to bribe my brother, please say you ate it. But because it was really me. And then he'd get mad at me and tell my parents, and now I'm in trouble.
Yeah. I know they was hard on you. You talked about that dealing with weight.
Very.
And them calling you fat growing up.
And then the final thing that I would say is, you know what, Wendy? This awkward stage, give it a moment, girl.
Give it a moment, girl.
You're on your way.
Give it a moment, girl. You're on your way. I love that. Your best friends and your his. I know you love Sex and the City, like I do.
Yeah.
My best friends in my head would be you, Little Kim, Vivica Fox, and I guess I'd be the fourth member of Sex and the City. But that's my super girl group right there. You, Vivica Fox.
You're asking
and
a lot. I don't even have an answer.
No?
I have so many of them depending on what I'm watching. But when we talk about Sex and the City, I could say tell you Charlotte and Miranda. I am not Carrie and Samantha.
No.
Who are you?
Carrie. Okay. I would say I'm Carrie with a touch of Samantha.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. I don't know you like that. I just met you.
But that's what it'd be for me. Now, you said, who is it for you?
I'm Miranda and Charlotte.
Okay.
Because I vote for love.
Mm-hmm.
And I vote for the things that it takes to nurture home. Mm-hmm. And I learned that from my mom. And Miranda, because you know what? She was a hard ass.
Yeah.
And a bad ass. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Throughout your career, your whole journey, give me, if you can, one word to describe everything that you've been through in your life as Wendy Williams.
Rough.
Rough?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Rough.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Wendy, you've been doing this for over 30 years, and you talked about only being unemployed for 2 months. I mean, I'm sorry, two weeks.
2 weeks, girl.
2 weeks.
Get it correct.
Okay, now 2 weeks, I mean.
In over 30 years. 2 weeks. You know why? Because I'm a hustler. Don't have time to even go through it. But, yep. Only 2 weeks of unemployment. And you want to know why that was?
Why?
Because I was fired from my overnight job at 103.5. Then they flipped the switch to 97.1, and then they became, you know, the station that they are. But they fired me. I cried in the office. Cautionary tale, ladies. Don't let your boss see you cry. Now, you know I'm a crybaby, mm-hmm. but you better hold those tears, run to the bathroom, and don't even let your female coworkers see you cry. You cry by yourself, and then you pick yourself up and you get out. I cried in the office, and they called me in, my general manager. I just gotten off air at 6 o'clock in the morning. He said, Wendy, don't leave yet. Wait around. I won't be there till 10. I want to call you in the office. So I'm like, okay. So I'm sitting in the jock lounge, you know, reading my magazines. And
did you think he was getting a raise?
I didn't know what I didn't know what it was.
Right.
But I didn't think that I was getting fired.
Right.
They called me in the office. It was an office of four men. Okay?
Yeah.
And it didn't take them long because I was the overnight girl. I had no contract. It could have been a black thing too, mm-hmm. you know, with no feelings about my feelings. It took them like 30 seconds to tell me I'm fired. And my dumb behind, you know what I said?
What'd you say?
Jazzy, what am I going to do now? Oh, yes. It was a full meltdown in the office. And I had a little boyfriend at the time. He said, well, you can always marry your boyfriend. I didn't. Like, what the sexism is going on? But I was not the strong Wendy then that I am now. So I appreciate talking to young girls like you and even younger women who are listening.
Yeah.
Just a cautionary tale, you know. Don't take that mess. So, yes. here's what I do. So they fire me, right? And they tell me, go on and get married. I left the office. Apparently, everybody else knew that I was getting fired.
Mm-hmm.
People are standing, you know, looking, you know, over their cubicles and stuff. I went to the jock lounge. I wrapped up my headphones. I was a blubbering mess.
Yes.
And went back to my apartment like, what am I going to do now?
Mm-hmm.
And I got my job at WPLJ, which was a top 40 station. They're still around 95.5 right here in New York. You know, they play the top 40 music.
Yeah.
The Justin Bieber and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
My delivery was always pleasing to that type of style anyway.
Yeah.
So.
But the thing that I love that you talked about sexism, because I know you love Ask Wendy on your show.
Yes.
And that's what I was going to ask you about, because with me, and I can wrap it up with this, with me, I'm currently dealing with sexism and disrespect and misogyny in the media field.
Yeah.
So for you to say that you can't cross those same obstacles.
Still do, Jazzy.
How do you deal with that? Because that's my Ask Wendy questions. Help us out, girl.
Well,
because you know what it is? Like you said, you're black, you're bold, you're unapologetic, and you're very opinionated.
Yes.
So am I.
Yeah.
And I think men in this industry
uh-huh.
are threatened by women like yourself and me. How do I deal with... Because... Dude, I'm not going to change. Only but so much.
Oh, you know what, Jasmine?
But talk to me.
All right, Jasmine. Oh, God. I'm sorry. I'm treating you like a daughter or something right now. I'm sorry. Jazzy, listen.
Oh, no, I'm your sister, girl.
Here's the deal.
Talk to me.
Sometimes you do have to pull back to get in the door.
Okay.
And then you pull your mask off and you'd be like, ta-da, and this is who I am. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you do have to pull back. But for me right now, I've got a great front line. It happens to be led by a really smart man. Mm-hmm.
You're protected.
Well.
Y'all are more like, I would say, like a dynamic duo, you two. Which I love because you get compared to Oprah a lot. When people say queen of media, queen of all media, people will say, arguably, oh, that's Oprah, that's that.
Yeah.
I look at you two like one is ketchup, one is hot sauce.
Yeah.
All right?
Well,
you would be the hot sauce.
I love
you
Oprah.
You give a different flavor.
And it was very difficult when I first got the talk show because people said, oh, she's trying to be the next Oprah. I'm like, no, I'm not. Would you just give me a chance? But sexism, I don't see it going anywhere anytime soon. Mm-hmm. You know, men are still, and shout out to the men who are listening, but yeah. Many of you all are just so threatened by women, and you're so assuming that women can't do this or women can't do that, that it's really just up to us women to prove them wrong. And we don't have to do that in a pantsuit and no makeup,
right.
By the way, ladies.
Right. Because I feel like walking in with the va-va-va-voom makes them feel uncomfortable.
Well, you don't have to be that va-voom the first time. You
right.
can give them a va. You know, but you definitely don't have to go in with, you know, a shaved head, a scrubbed face, mm-hmm. you know, and a nasty attitude.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be like a man to
get respect like
from
a man.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah.
I do want to ask this before you go.
Okay.
Uh-oh. How you doing?
What? How you doing?
Where the hell did that come from?
Oh, gosh.
I need to know where that came
from. Okay. For a brief moment, many years ago, I had to shoot my way out of New York City in a horrible situation. But I landed a job in Philadelphia because I didn't want to be too far from my home, New York, because I planned on coming back. You know, so I was in Philadelphia, and I was on this morning show, and yes, it was led by two men, and I was the third. I became the side chick. I know.
So you were.
Shut
the front door.
I know.
You were a side.
I was a side chick after conquering New York. At this point, I had been syndicated around the country, including around the world. I was in Germany, I was in Kobe, Japan, I was lit, and my entire career was reduced to being a side chick for nominal money.
Okay.
In Philadelphia. And I love Philly, but it's the idea that I built all this, and I had to, basically everything crumbled in ashes, and I just picked up my headphones and drove down the turnpike. So I was on this morning show with two older guys, and they had the obligatory gay character that every, you know, morning show has.
Right.
You know, whatever. you know, to make it funny. You know, it's so corny that the formulas are out here. Like, every radio station has the Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
The gossip girl. You're like, corny.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
How you do it?
Right. So the gay character would make his appearance.
Uh-huh.
And the guys, you know, they weren't homophobes. They just didn't know how to, you know.
Yeah, receive it.
Yes.
And be comfortable around.
Right?
It. Okay.
So I named him Shantae. And Shantae would come in. Hey, y'all. Hey, y'all. And I'd say, how you doing? And that was my best affectation to make him laugh and to make us laugh and to open things up. And so how you doing, I invented, took it with me from Philly. And it's just become the royal greeting of everything Wendy. So how you doing?
Shout out to the LGBTQ community because
yes.
They kind of adopted that as well.
And I
made
love
it like their phrase. It's almost like when you say it, it's synonymous to that community.
I hopefully.
Now I know why. Because of Shantae, honey.
Well, hopefully it's synonymous to me.
Yes, it is.
You know,
first and foremost, yes.
Yeah. It's a different one than how you doing?
Yes.
Like a guy from, you know, Brooklyn. How you doing? No.
Okay, Wendy, when it's all said and done,
mm-hmm.
How does my girl, Wendy Williams, would like to be remembered?
The girl who turned the world on with a smile. I want to make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to forget your troubles just for an hour or just for a moment or just, you know, through like my charity work and other stuff like that. Just, you know, I'm kind, even through the big personality, the big presence, the big mouth. I'm a kind woman, and I mean no harm.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Before you go, real quick.
Jesus, right.
DJ.
There you go.
Wendy Williams. Okay. A lot of people don't know this. I want to give you credit because you're like the first woman that I know.
Okay.
In radio and DJing that ever came out with a mixtape. Oh! Bringing the heat.
Okay.
Why did my body yesterday? I was listening to it like, ow.
Okay. Because
mixtape Wendy, really? Really, sis? Really?
I am hip-hop. You know, I'm the same girl who, you know, night after night was in the club, yes, y'alling with the microphone, like, where's Brooklyn at? Where's Brooklyn at? Come on now. Standing on the banquette. People would be fighting in the corner. I'm holding it down. I'm like, okay. So go over there. In the meantime, everybody relax. Where's Brooklyn at? Where's Jersey? Where are all my ladies? I don't want to say a thug side because I'm not trying to claim like I grew up in the streets because I definitely did not. But I have an appreciation for hip hop that goes way beyond me just naming five of my favorite female MCs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've lived it. I've nurtured it. And I am it.
And a lot of people don't give you credit for breaking artists as a woman in this industry.
Yeah, well, they're stupid.
Right. Just... What are some of the artists that you broke? Because that mixtape was dope, but that Naked record with Marcus Houston, was that exclusively for that album?
No. You know what? It was on mine, and then he put it on his. And I can't tell you who I broke, because right now, my mind is not even in that mindset.
Because I just want to give you the credit for contributing to the culture.
I can tell you a story.
Okay. I'm here for a story.
So my man promoted a party and I hosted the party. And this is when you could walk around the metal detectors. So you did not know what was going on. This is before dress code and all that. Oh my gosh. Foxy Brown. Nobody knew who that was. Foxy Brown performed that night, and Jay-Z was a nervous cat in the corner, back and forth on his feet, practicing his lyrics, because this was the kind of crowd that would throw something at you if you did the wrong thing.
Where was this one?
It was Club Legend on Utica Avenue, and but that's just one of many. You know, the late old DB, I remember one night, another party in Brooklyn, same promoter, I was hosting. You could still walk around the metal detector. There was no dress code. The entire Wu-Tang Clan was there. And they were performing their behinds off. This is like Wu on full tilt. The whole Staten Island came to Brooklyn. Plus, the whole Brooklyn was out. Jersey was in the building. Anyway, they're performing. Old Dirty Bastard, rest in peace, gets on stage and shoots a gun into the ceiling. People were so into the performance of the Wu-Tang Clan, they were basically like, "Yeah, boo, get off the stage, boo." Nobody moved. This is back when people didn't run when they heard stuff like that. The party just continued. The Wu attacked the bar. They stole everything from behind the bar.
What?
Everybody had bottles in their hands, just two-fisting bottles of brown juice. It was a mess. Look, the paramedics came in, taking people out, but people were still... I've lived, Jazzy.
Yes.
I've lived.
Now, wait, back to the Foxy Brown story.
Well, Fox and Jay were in a relationship at that particular time. You know I'm on the radio and I'm talking. You know I knew things.
Right.
But this was also his partner with Ain't No Nigga.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But before they did Ain't No Nigga, she went on stage. She did a verse she collaborated with LL Cool J on a song.
Yeah, wasn't it Who Shot Ya, I think? Who Shot Ya. Yeah.
Yeah.
She killed it. She bodied all them dudes on there.
Look, Foxy's incredibly dope as a lyricist, yeah. Tell me. But anyway, so she gets on stage, Jay's in the corner, I guess a nervous wreck for his own performance, but also nervous because his girl's up there.
Yes, Wendy.
No disrespect, V, but everybody's lived before they lived.
Yes, yes. Jay was a regular guy before you came along, B. She knows that. Will we see any more mixtapes from Wendy Williams?
Probably not.
No? No more music?
Jazzy, can I grow up?
Yes.
Can my life move on?
I don't think... And you let me know if you agree. Hip-hop is a part of you.
Yes.
I think it will always be a part of you. Mm-hmm.
Look, I was pissed that I didn't see Mobb Deep before Prodigy passed away. Mm-hmm. It was like 3 days or a week before, and they were performing here in the city. And that's my group.
Yeah. You had them on the mixtape. And
I don't just love hip-hop. I love the grind. Like...
Mobb Deep had that. Prodigy had that.
Mm-hmm. The Raekwons and the Ghostface, the entire Wu. You know, of course, Biggie, Nas.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Def Squad.
Yeah.
Like, where are we going with this conversation? My hip-hop is, unfortunately, not that ABC 123 hip-hop. No.
I love how you talk on your show, and sometimes you come to work listening to M.O.P. push it through traffic.
Every morning.
I'm like, yes, Wendy, I hope your listeners and your watchers understand.
Do you know what that does? That gets me ready like a prize fighter going into the ring.
Yeah.
Like, I love disco music, but I don't want to hear Donna Summer at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need something to get me ready for the fight, because it's not easy out here. These people, you know, between the sexism, the racism, the ageism, the isms, every day is a fight.
Yeah.
And that's my prize fight music.
Love that prize fight. And you are winning. I'm going to end this with me just sharing a story with you.
Okay.
Being from Detroit, I moved here when I was like 19 years old.
Okay.
And I ended up getting a job with Rockaware, oddly enough, how you was talking about Jay-Z. And I was working with Jay-Z's sister, Michelle Carter. And I was like the receptionist slash office manager assistant, because she is still, I believe, the office manager there.
Mm-hmm.
And we kept the radio right there, right there by the receptionist area. And when I tell you, when you came on,
the office would stop.
Child, you already know. You know where I'm going with this.
People tell me that all the time, but even with the talk show.
It wasn't even like just the office stopped. That's when I realized the power of you, what made you so special. Because here I am, a young girl, 19, I'm just in the game, and I'm like, why are all y'all hovering around my desk? And I'm like, this woman's not even hearing the physical sense.
Uh-huh.
All of y'all here in this room, stop what y'all were doing. Y'all put your job in jeopardy because you left your damn cubicle to come over here to see what this woman is saying. But not only is they just listening to you, they're not even interrupting you. They're letting you talk. You can hear a pin drop in that room. It was dead silence because you captured.
I'm so flattered.
I appreciate you even tearing up right now. I do.
No, I'm not tearing up.
Okay.
There's something in my eye.
Okay, cool.
Something in my eye. I am not tearing up. And that is what I said about this entire conversation. Nope.
I'm like, okay.
Nope, I got my strength.
Okay. No, but I don't think that's even a sign of weakness, honestly. But... I remember just everyone being quiet and hanging on to your every word. And I sat there and I said, this woman is special. I don't even know what she looked like. She's not even in this room, but she's the most important person in this room. And you did that through the speakers. I just got there. Wendy Williams, what's going on? This woman, what'd she say? Ooh, she said that. And I just want to say, to me, you have a gift. I'm sure you know this already.
People tell me the same thing about the talk show.
It does. It translates well on TV as well. But I just wanted to share that because I think that's what gave me an idea as to what I wanted to do, the type of power I wanted to.
You want to be able to stop a room.
Okay? I'm like, she ain't even here at all, y'all. If you don't get your musty armpits from over me, and listen to this damn radio, brother, your breath is hot. Go back. The men was on it too. The women, all ages, all races. I'm like, this woman got it. She's not even here, but she's the most important person in the room. So I'm like...
It's not easy to be a Wendy Williams. Let me tell you something right now. It's a long... lonely road.
Well, I just wanted to share that with you, and I wanted to thank you for being that person and continuing to prove that you are still person. You've been consistently doing that throughout your career. You've been stopping traffic, stopping the world, with your voice, and now we're blessed to see you in a physical form and on TV, and just your presence alone here in this world. And I can't wait to see what you do next. And if you want to share what you're doing next, please, because now I'm getting teary-eyed.
I mean, you know, my app is brand new,
right?
And I really enjoy doing that. Mm-hmm. It's Wendy Digital. You can go to iTunes, Google, and download the app. I also have my Wenmojis, and I would like to expand that. You know, I want more people to look at my app. I'm trying to create a community. I'm encouraging people to send me material, and it's very user-friendly, and I think that they will really like it. So far, it's gotten some pretty good reviews from, you know, the people who enjoy it. It's another side of the whole Wendy situation.
I love that. I feel like you could be a little more interpersonal, I guess, with your viewers and listeners. They could come on, they could send content.
Send content! Why not?
Do you have a favorite part of the app? I would assume Hot Topics would be your favorite part of the app. Oh, yes!
What is that?
That's a gift! Yay!
A crown?
Wendy, I had to do it. Now, listen, with every guest that comes on the show, I don't be giving them shit, child.
I was going to say, okay? Do you give them crowns?
No, but...
Why is my mouth watering over a crown?
Because I know you the queen, and I know you love a crown. I know you love a tiara.
I love anything royal.
Yes, which you are. Outside of you, I've given a crown to Little Kill because she's my top five favorite, number one.
Oh, yeah.
And in my head, like I said, along with you and Vivica Fox, that's my best friend in my head.
Oh,
and I just love how she had an influence in my life. You impacted my life so much, so you deserve a crown as well. Lady Luck and Samaya Reese made this crown. I called them up last minute. I said, I need to give Wendy a gift. I was scrolling and trolling through the ground, and I said, God damn it, you make crowns. I need one ASAP. Shout out to Lady Luck. She's out of New Hampshire right now, doing a gig.
I know Lady Luck.
Of course you do.
I've never met Samaya, but how you doing?
Hey, Samaya.
Uh-huh.
How you doing? She Ubered this to me 9 a.m. in the morning.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I had to have it. Open it.
No, I don't want to ruin it. I'm going to tell you where I'm going to put it, though.
Okay.
I'm going to put it on my at-home Hot Topics chair because it's a hip-hop throne that I do my Hot Topics from at home in Jersey, and it's missing a crown to hang off of it. So now I have to stop at the hardware store and get a hook, and I'm going to put it there. Tune in to At Home Hot Topics. No, I swear to you, watch. I'm a woman of my word.
I know you are. I know you are. You're a stand-up chick, so I hope you like it, but I had to do it.
Thank you.
I had to do it.
Thank you.
My girl.
I'll see you again soon. Wow, your hands are really small and soft.
Probably a little clammy, too. Well, I'm a sweater. Clammy.
Bye, girl.
Yes.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.